news, everyone.
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great. Everybody else sucks.
Let's get dangerous.
Yes, sir, random kid I just met.
It's time to check the lid.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list.
Hooray. People are paying attention for me.
It's all in.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is week 17. Fantasy football ranks, discussion, breakdown, game previews, whatever you want to call it, on the FTN Network with Chris Meaney and stepmom Lauren. And I pointed in the right direction. It only took 17 weeks to get here to get both of those correct at the same time. And hopefully you're here for your championship game. If not, hopefully you're just here for the fun and you can go to The Athletic. It's a dollar again, which means you can get in there and vote. I actually put, I don't know if you saw that, Meaney, because I know you always check the link. I don't know how often Lauren does, but I have the 14 graphics from the Pat Mayo show that we did this year to vote. I'm curious where the vote is right now. What do you think? Did you vote in it? Did either of you vote?
I haven't voted. I haven't voted yet. I love the Turtles one. This you and the Turtles is fantastic. There's a lot of good ones. That one will probably be the one. Of course, you got the Darkwing Jake is probably gonna, that's the one you want to win, right?
I mean, that's favorite? the whole reason I did the poll. This is actually Nicole's idea, because I was putting this together and I'm like, man, I don't know whether to rank these. I don't know whether to rank Darkwing Duck first or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because it's hilarious, or the Wizard because it's kind of cool. I was like, I don't know. And she's like, why don't you just ask people? I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. I am shocked, actually, right now. I know. I'm shocked at the results so far. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles isn't even top three, top four, top five. It's not even top five. I thought that one was like going to be a roll ahead top two or three. Contra is number one. I'm shocked.
I see that now. 16%. Saved by the Bell is pretty good, too. Maybe. I wonder how much the voting comes in and just, like, their favorite shows. Like, Saved by the Bell is kind of a show that a lot of people like. The one with you and Pat with Rank Wars is pretty joke.
That was the very first one that was ever done.
Yeah. It's a good job. Mayo's got a great... whoever does it, shout it to him. I know it's somebody that reached out. He did a couple things when I joined Pat's show as well. I'm like, man, this is fantastic.
Street Fighter 2 is up. It's funny that the people are voting for the ones where I don't even think it looks as much like us. Like the Street Fighter 2 one looks kind of rough.
Yeah, it doesn't really look like it.
I mean, it looks pretty good. I mean, if you look at Pat on the Contra one, it's kind of, you can tell from the side, me, I don't even know who the hell I look like in the Contra one, especially because I have blonde hair. But anyway, I'm not surprised. I think Dragon Ball Z has 0. No, it's got 9. Wow. I'm shocked at these results. Anyway, maybe you're shocked at the results of last week, because if you had George Pickens, you're probably in the finals. If you had a few of these random, hey, let's show up in the week where your consolation bracket's going to roll along, you're probably in.
My flex team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your flex league.
You're talking about my flex team of Amari Cooper.
You had two of them.
Like 60.
Amari Cooper and George Pickens?
George Pickens. I think Zeke had another good game. Yeah, it's crazy. Lauren, we talked about George Pickens on the Sirius show on Saturday, and we talked about how we liked him more with Mason Rudolph under center. Honestly, I've always thought this, that of the three quarterbacks,
I'm not
going to
take any credit for this.
Best.
I had no faith in Pickens. You were the one that was on board.
I didn't have
Pickens.
A ton of faith.
I was like, nah. And then showed me.
I'm not going to take credit for what he did. I didn't have any kind of faith. No worth. I didn't think he would come close to that. But the first play of the game,
Lord,
he busts off that big run. And now, Jake, that matchup against Seattle. I really do believe that Mason Rudolph is best for his game. I really do believe that. And I've always felt like he is the most talented wide receiver on the squad, with no disrespect to Deontay Johnson. It's just he's so explosive with the ball in his hands, but they haven't been able to figure out a way to get the ball in his hands. I don't know. To bank on that again, like, I have him in a couple leagues, he's on the bench. Now I'll play him this week, and, you know, you probably go back to single-digit performance.
It was a shocking reminder of his big play ability. I think, well, myself, I can only speak for myself, but I had forgotten how good he was, right? Because this offense has been so atrocious that I forgot his big play ability. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's why we like that guy. I totally forgot about you. You're good at football. Who knew?
So that was his first 100-yard game since week 7. That was amazing. Just it's easy to forget when you haven't showed up. But I think he had one 90-yard game mixed in there. So that's also, by the way, real quick, shout out to Nicole's daughter who got me this Friends/Supernatural T-shirt crossover, which might be one of the best crossovers I've ever seen, because those are two of my top five shows of all time.
Barkley,
relax.
Well done. Well done. Find a shirt like that. It's got your name written all over it.
I know, right? Here's the thing. I do not have George Pickens as a wide receiver too, even coming off that game, even with Mason Rudolph. And here's the bigger reason why, is because not only was it his first 100-yard game since week seven, there's been three wide receivers since week three who've topped 90 yards against the Seahawks. Do you guys want to take a guess who they might be, as Barkley is really upset today? she's growling and all. You want to guess who they are? Just throw it. Like, I'll even, if you just get one of the three. There's been three wide receivers since week three that have topped 90 yards against the Seahawks. Throw one out, Meanie.
Puka Nacua?
Nope. Lauren, throw one out.
Keenan Allen?
Nope. CeeDee Lamb?
Good guess.
And then Ayuk and Deebo in the same game. Those are the only three. And it's not like they've faced slouches this entire time. I mean, they have faced some. But
yeah,
am I overrating this matchup, Meanie? Am I underrating the impact of Mason Rudolph? I just don't think that George Pickens, like you just mentioned it, you know, you have some teams that he's not even going to be in your starting lineup. I don't see benching people that have, quote unquote, gotten me here, where I can see George Pickens inside my top 25 or 30 just because of last week.
No, I have him outside my top 32. I think he's a wide receiver three of flex. Again, I think the situation is better for him with Rudolph under center, and I'm glad that they're going back to him. But, I mean, you can't bank on last week's performance. I think it sounds like Devin Witherspoon is going to be back for Seattle, too. I think that's a big reason why they've only allowed three wide receivers to hit their century mark against them over the past, what was that, week three? That's pretty crazy. Week three. Because the pass defense has been pretty weak. But a lot of teams in the NFL are playing this weird style of football this year. It's like kind of like prevent defense. They're sitting back, and that's what Seattle did against Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. They sat back and they said, go ahead. If you want to run, we dare you. If you want to do dink and dunks, go for it. But we're not giving up any big plays. And that's what a lot of teams are doing this year. So I flex play. You just hope for the best. Sorry,
I'm going to have to cue you up, Lauren.
I'm thinking, you can just to fill in that horrible void. Dead air. So what I'm thinking is, because over the last 4 weeks, the Seahawks have allowed 638 receiving yards to wide receivers and three touchdowns. Just to kind of give you some context, the Rams have actually allowed the most at almost 800. And then the fewest has been the Cardinals at 281. How very odd. So I think that there is a place for George Pickens in the wide receiver two category, but I'm going to be, according to you guys, I'm being a little bit aggressive, but I feel like I'm being a little conservative by putting him in as a low-end wide receiver two. I feel comfortable keeping him there.
Okay, well then let's come back and circle through some of these others. We're going to play some Can or Kiss again, because this is week 17. This is all that matters in week 17. Is real quick, as a sidebar, as advice for everybody, your bench now matters nothing except for one thing: blocking your opponent. If I'm facing Chris Meanie and I'm looking at Chris Meanie's team and I'm like, man, he's been struggling at tight end, or he's been playing the defense matchup game and he only has one defense, or maybe he only has one quarterback and who the hell knows what could happen on Thursday practice. I am playing the block game. Maybe he's been relying on Joe Flacco for the last three games, and now Joe Flacco has the Jets. I'm going out and sniping every single quarterback, defense, like anything you could potentially need, your opponent could need, put them on your bench. Take them away from your opponent. That's all that's important right now, because if you're not starting the person, there's no reason to keep him on your team. Of course, unless that person dropping could potentially get in your opponent's lineup. I'm not like, I'm not using Zeke this week. I'm going to drop him. Like, it's just, you get the point.
I spent $45 this morning on KJ Osborne, and I'm not even going to play him. And I don't even know if he's going to play. But my opponent probably has to play somebody average, you know, in the flex spot or as a wide receiver three. So it sounds like Jordan Addison isn't going to play, and we know that TJ Hawkinson's season is over, unfortunately. Yeah, so those two guys are out, and all of a sudden, like, Nick Mullins has been pretty decent over the past couple weeks, and now he's just down to Justin Jefferson and K.J. Osborne.
So well, I say Nick Mullins, but they've already come out and said all three quarterbacks are in play this week to start.
What? Come on. Mullins did some okay things besides that awful
did
throw.
Did some okay things.
He did. He marched them back into that football game. They were down a bunch of scores. He hit Justin Jefferson a bunch. I thought he did
put
good.
Him there.
I thought he was really good.
He's Jameis Winston.
I mean, this is the year of we've seen 59 different starting quarterbacks this year. Mullins is probably in the top half of that.
Okay. Are you as excited about Nick Mullins as me?
I'm not excited about him. Okay.
He's been fine. I think he's serviceable. Yeah.
Here, here's a toss-up. Here's a toss-up. Would you play Nick Mullins or would you play Joe Flacco against the Jets?
Ooh.
Yeah, see?
I think in that particular set, I would play Nick Mullins over Joe Flacco. I don't like this matchup for the Browns at all. So I think I would lean Nick Mullins there.
I may even play Rudolph over both of those guys. I don't know. Probably not. I don't really want to play Mullins. Like I brought him up, but the fact that he is going to be out Hockenson and Addison, it's fine. Bryce Young had some moments last week against the Packers, too. I would probably go Mullins over Flacco just because we have seen the Jets defense been pretty stout all year. But Flacco has been, man, this guy is turning the clock back to the elite quarterback conversation days.
Well, so I'm going to throw something here. I'll tell you why. Let me go back up to my Commanders preview. I did little two blurbs, a little quick hitter this week because, hey, you know what? There's only so many people that are still in things, which I appreciate. People like Steven that are still watching just for the hell of it, because that's what we're here for, to have some fun and teach you for next year and to have fun and all sorts of things. But the Joe Flacco thing, I said this to Pat in his show, it's similar to Jacoby Brissett coming in for Sam Howell. They don't care. Like, if Joe Flacco goes out and loses the last two games, who cares? He hasn't, like, he's just out there having fun.
YOLO.
And that, like it's not like that whole elite during the playoff run that he, you know, threw, what was it, 8 touchdowns and 0 interceptions or whatever it was. Like, that's, you know, his career was still in the middle of his career. Like, things were on the line here. This is like, you come in for the Browns after Deshaun Watson and PJ Walker and Dorian Thompson Robinson and you fail, who the bleep cares? You got your paycheck. And I'm not saying he doesn't care to try and win.
Right.
But if you see, he's making more aggressive throws. He's throwing, the Mayo brought this up, he's throwing up 50-50 balls and be like, you know what? You know, if the defense has to take over because you threw an interception, that's fine because their defense is terrific. That was Mayo's point. And I brought this up, like, in the column, is Jacoby Brissett's kind of the same way. Now, it's very limited. I don't think he has 30 attempts yet. But we're talking about, if you look at Jacoby Brissett when he's come in for Sam Howell, 9.7 yards per attempt and 12.4 yards per completion. His career highs, like, not even career averages, career highs are 7.3 and 11.8. Like, he's way ahead of his career highs, let alone his career averages, because what do we joke about Jacoby Brissett all the time? Check down champion, throws to tight ends and nobody else. And he's just out there. He's like, you know what? I'm in the game. Who the hell cares? I'm just going to toss it downfield. So I bring it up real quickly to come to that game. If Jacoby Brissett's under center, do you have any interest of McLaurin, who's been kind of benchable like George Pickens? McLaurin against the 49ers, Brissett's at quarterback, meaning?
Maybe as a super flex, like, not a lot.
No,
of
no, no, not Brissett. McLaurin.
Oh, McLaurin. Sorry.
If Brissett's at quarterback.
Yeah.
Would you go McLaurin or George Pickens?
I'll probably go Pickens there.
I know Lauren's go Pickens.
Yeah, I think it's fairly close.
Although it is McLaurin, so I don't know, maybe.
I mean, Howell hasn't been able to get him the ball really all year, right? Howell has not been able to. It hasn't been.
I know, that's what I was saying. It's Brissett.
I think part of it too is the back-to-back games that Brissett has come in. The game has been just. I know they came back on the Jets, which was remarkable because
they were down. Yeah, they were down. They were getting blitzed in both.
Yeah. So I don't want to take too much away from Jacoby Brissett, but yeah, he has not been afraid to chuck the ball, and sometimes, you know, in the situation needs him to chuck the football. I'll lean Pickens there. It feels really weird to say, but
yeah, I will too.
Okay.
Yeah, I will too. I'll lean on George Pickens there.
The best thing about Flacco,
I'm counting because we have a dozen injury situations we're about to talk about.
Oh my goodness. Flacco not only is just, like, not afraid to make those throws, but he's made Amari Cooper and David Njoku like fantasy relevant here over the past
so relevant.
I mean, these guys have been off the charts. Njoku, I think he's got a touchdown in 3 or 4 straight games, and he's been like plus 200 in each one of those games to score. And Amari Cooper feels like he's got 50 targets over the last 3 games. Like, he is just getting all of the work. Hopefully you guys, you know, made it to the finals with those two guys, especially Amari. I know he's been a pain in your butt all year, but right now with Flacco, even against the Jets, you got to play him.
So as Bartha gets her drink of water, because she's like, week 17, who the hell cares? I'm just going to disrupt the entire show, apparently. Let's talk about potentially disrupting your lineups with injuries. See, I had a transition plan there.
Segway King.
Yeah. Meany, should we talk running back injuries, wide receiver injuries, or quarterback injuries?
Running backs.
Christmas is over. We're starting with quarterbacks. You get nothing and like it.
Fair.
Trevor Lawrence is out there on one good leg at this point. He is the Black Knight from whatchamacallit, the Holy Grail.
Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail.
But to the point where I tweeted out, it's the invincible gif, where he's down to both arms are cut off and one leg is cut. Like, that's it. Like, he's like, concussion, shoulder. And like, I don't care. I'm going out there. You say you can't play. I mean, like, this isn't really about Lawrence. I get that. You don't want to play him. He actually sits. If he's like, dude, chill out. Like, relax. Like, stop. And it's Beathard. Are Calvin Ridley and Evan Ingram in play? That's because the only two we care about. Zay Jones, if he comes back, fine. Hail Mary play if Lawrence is at quarterback. But as we saw last week, it's not Parker Washington. It's not Jamal Agnew. It's not Elijah Cooks, who I even told Pat was the first player this entire 2023 season where I said, I don't know that dude. Like the first, I don't ever get stumped. And I legitimately was like, wow, I did not watch him in college. I can tell you that much. I don't know who Elijah Cooks is. So all that being said, you got the Jaguars, not a bad matchup on paper. So, I mean, would you start Calvin Ridley? Actually, Lauren, this is your boy. Calvin Ridley, who has shown flashes, like, I'm not even saying like, top 10, top 15. There was plays where that came into play. If Zay Jones had probably stayed healthy, you might have been right on that one. But so since he's your boy, would you start Calvin Ridley with Beathard this week against Carolina?
I don't hate it. I think that there are obviously better options aside from Calvin Ridley if you can avoid it. But if you can't, I don't top think 20? This is the end of the world. No, I don't think I'll make top 20. Maybe
top
like
30? Can or kiss?
Yes.
Is this overthinking it or just keep him in your lineup?
I would keep him in the lineup. They're going up against Tampa Bay. I don't mind this matchup Carolina. For the Jaguars. Oh, sorry, my bad. Still don't hate the matchup. Whatever. I think this is going to be fine. I actually do like Evan Ingram a little bit better, simply because I think the opportunity for dump offs, a little bit of a security blanket, is there for Evan Ingram. Playing Calvin Ridley is going to be risky. So if you do want to make that jump, then you are going to have to put in some upside in the rest of your roster. If you can avoid it, I would try to do that. So I think our conversation can be had. I don't think it is as simple as leaving him in your lineup and being like, he good, because there's enough worry with Beathard instead of Lawrence.
Meaning it's going to be George Pickens today. Pickens or Ridley if it's Beathard.
Pickens.
I think Pickens. I actually think that this is a bad matchup. I want to give some love to Carolina. I said this last week as well. Like, it's the Browns and the Ravens and the Panthers. Like, in terms of eliminating passing yards, that's how actually good this pass defense has been. The third fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, the third fewest to wide receivers. Teams have been able to run all over them. I was on Carolina to cover. I thought they were live dogs against the Packers last week. I was worried about Jordan Love. I am going to be worried about CJ Beathard and Calvin Ridley. Absolutely. I wouldn't play him. I like Evan Ingram. He's been getting a ton of targets. I think he had 15 or so last week. That's a guy that I would play, but I would not play Calvin Ridley again with CJ Beathard. So I'm going to pass on that one. I think it's
okay. Serious. Assuming Stroud is back, because it sounds like it's possible that he still have a slim playoff chance alive. And CJ Stroud, semi-close last week. Sounds like it. CJ Stroud is back. Is this as simple as Nico Collins, Noah Brown, smash them in your lineups, both of them? And we know Nico Collins is both of them ahead of George Pickens, both of them ahead of Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Noah Brown, too? I just want to be clear.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go that way with Brown. Yeah.
Lauren looks surprised. Noah Brown, you're not playing Noah Brown over Calvin Ridley?
Yes. But not with such confidence. Not with any confidence.
I mean, I get it. If you're comparing the two players, it seems crazy, but yeah. I got to go with CJ Stroud and what we've seen from him.
I get it.
Pass attempts, the Titans are checked out. Yeah, all those things. Yes.
I'm with Noah Brown. You know that. I've had Noah Brown when CJ Stroud's there. And heart even that
emoji.
Yeah, some Noah Brown for him. Last quarterback situation, then we will talk running backs, Meanie, I promise. Is we do have a question mark of Brock Purdy. Now, of course, some of the assumption might just be made the fact that he gave away the MVP conversation in that game for all the people that were supporting Brock Purdy and not Christian McCaffrey for some reason. But anyway, Brock Purdy went belly up, got a stinger, but the second time, like they're saying, eh, stinger. If it actually was, like, legit stinger, and, you know, they did pull him from the game, why risk it anyway? Even if it's close, you probably, because it's the second time. There is a chance there is no Brock Purdy. If Brock Purdy's out there, we know. Start, like, I guess that's a question. I have been asked this question. I said, I'm right back to him. This is as good of a matchup as you could possibly get. It's the Washington Commanders defense, which does not actually exist. I'm talking about a fictional thing. There is no Commanders defense. Brock Purdy out there with Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle against the Commanders. Probably top five. Yes, I will slap him right back inside the top five. So you're both shaking your head yes. Okay, so let me go to the second question. As of today, we'll say there's a world where Brock Purdy doesn't play. Is Sam Darnold top 15? Because of who he plays for and who he's going to be facing this week. Sam Darnold or Trevor Lawrence? Sam Darnold or Joe Flacco? Is Sam Darnold going to end up being inside the top 15? Laura's like biting her tongue. I'm trying to see how long I could go because she just wants to win or jump in.
I do want to win. I do want to win. So ergo, I will play Sam Darnold. I think his upside has a lot of potential with all of these weapons. I don't think I'd win the Super Bowl, Mr. Nice Guy. That'd be kind of funny, wouldn't
it? Well, the 49ers do. He's on the team.
Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold. Exactly. I believe in that young man. I would put him in.
Do you believe in him or do you believe in Kyle Shanahan? Let's be honest.
It doesn't matter. I believe in both of them. Together, they are going to score me fantasy points or get my weapons that I have on my squad to score fantasy points. So all right, Purdy's the better option, but...
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, yes.
It's
Jake.
It's week 17, and I'm about to run through. And this might all be irrelevant by the time. If you're listening on Friday or Saturday, they've already said Brock Purdy's fine. So we're going to do this real quick. We probably the quickest version of this we've ever done. Version of what, you say? I don't know. There's probably a way we could figure out where Sam Darnold goes in week 17 if you have to make this decision come the end of the week. And I think it's a good time to do it. What do you think we could do, Meanie?
I know that there is a way. Lauren, do you know what it is?
Is there a way?
No. I mean, we could. No.
We can make a list.
There it is.
Week 17. Here we go. Top 9. Hurts, Dak, Allen, Lamar, Brock. Patrick Mahomes might be ranked too high. Stroud, Fields, Stafford. Not in the conversation of any of those. Starting at 10. I might be drinking the Kool-Aid and ready to go down with this ship. But
see that.
Eight touchdowns in the last three games. He's playing great. The early season failures inside the red zone have reversed course, but they've completely, like, this is not just like, oh, it offset. No, this is like, it's on the other end of the spectrum, so it could go sideways. But Derek Carr against the Buccaneers, top 10. I like, call me crazy. So Derek Carr, right after him, Jared Goff at Dallas. Jared Goff or Sam Darnold? I think that's where we can start the conversation. Meanie, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff.
I'll go Goff.
Lauren?
Goff.
Okay. Tua at Baltimore with no Jalen Waddle.
I would go Sam Darnold.
Really?
I would go Sam Darnold. Yeah, I have Tua a little bit lower. I mean, we just saw this Ravens defense. And you just talked about
it. I know. But Tua is not Brock Purdy.
Worst possible matchup. He's not even have Jalen Waddle either. You know, go from the worst possible matchup to, you know, the best possible matchup. That's the difference between Washington and San Fran. Or Baltimore, rather. I would sit Tua this week. Over a few quarterbacks that you're going to bring up here in a second.
Lauren agrees. Here, real quick, you want a stat for everybody out there with your Achan? Achan, 20.6% of the running back touches and 6% of the team's targets when Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are both on the field. When either one of them are not on the field, almost 28% of the running back touches and almost 9% of the team targets. Throwing out there, that might be an Achan situation where you can get some value out of that. So, all right, let's see if I can get another one for you guys. Russell Wilson or Sam Darnold if it's Darnold?
I'll play Darnold.
Really? Even against the Chargers? Is this the classic case of floor versus upside? Because Russell Wilson's guaranteed to get you between 13 and 18 every single week.
Yeah, it's basically what he does. I thought the Chargers bounced back and did some great things against Buffalo, almost upset the Bills and Josh Allen the other day. So, yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson, they want to run the football. They're just such a lame offense to watch. They really are, man. When Cortland Sutton left that game against the Pats, they couldn't do anything. They lost to New England.
A little preview of off-season type stuff. Are you going back to your boy Javonte Williams next week or next year, meaning? Give him a pass coming off the injury, first season off the injury.
If he lives in the fifth, the sixth round again, I may go that way. But it is an offense that I don't really want anything to do with. It, like I said, it's a lame offense. There's no ceiling there with this squad. So,
okay. Then Lauren, Russ or Sam Darnold?
Floor versus ceiling.
Well, just
floor ceiling here.
So pick one.
I know. That's why I'm echoing what you're saying. So pick I think one. If you need to stay floor, you're going to go with Russ Wilson. If you want some upside, go with Sam Darnold.
Okay, Baker or Sam Darnold.
Baker.
Maybe Baker.
Holy crap. You're like 75 fantasy points over the last three games. Just ride this thing out. I play Baker and Dak.
Kyler Murray or Darnold?
I'll go Kyler.
Lauren? Okay. Kyler or Darnold?
Darnold.
He's going to toss like three touchdowns, right, Shanahan?
You just love to hate your Eagles. Just to, like,
yes,
that's just
does.
What it is.
Well.
All right, let's talk running back injuries then. Let's circle
have,
back
they may
around.
Have lost that game if Taylor started the whole game.
That is true. All right. Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, concussion. I would say almost likely to be out for the entire season. For the rest of the season, week 17 and 18, or at least for week 17, but concussions need to be magically fixed at the end of this year. Don't ask me how. We're in this world where all of a sudden nobody cares about concussions anymore. So Isaiah Pacheco, you know you play him. RB1, it's your boy, Meany. We love some Isaiah Pacheco. But if he's out, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, are we finally getting the 2 years ago first round Clyde Edwards-Helaire, seventh pick in the draft? Are we getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire must start championship week if there's no Pacheco?
I think so, yeah, because obviously you know and the viewers and listeners I'm sure are well aware as well is there's no Jerick McKinnon either. So they're running out of bodies to roll out there at the running back position. He's done some okay things. You know, he had a receiving touchdown a couple weeks ago. He has been catching some balls out of the backfield. And you're going to get some of those attempts. Man, the Chiefs offense, it's remarkable. I couldn't believe that stat that I saw on the weekend. Yeah, it was the first game at home ever for Mahomes where he started 3-0 in the opening two drives. Like, that alone is remarkable to think about because the NFL is, I mean, it's such a tough sport even to get W's and get wins. But the fact that he had never had 2 3-and-outs to start a home game ever in his career, and then not only that, struggled to move the football, but against in this matchup against the Bengals, top 20 running back, he kind of put him in the conversation with Zeke. I don't think that Zeke's going to get as many he's going to get as many targets as Zeke has been getting, but I do believe that he's going to get 20 plus opportunities. I don't think you can ignore that.
I actually have are you looking because I have them back to back?
I think that they're kind of comparable.
So comparable or comparable? pecans or whatever they
pukuns.
So I actually say pecan pie, but if they're individuals, I say pecans.
I do that with the Caribbean or the Caribbean.
Is it? I just say Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, so but like, if I'm going to the Caribbean, I say Caribbean.
You're not
but
going
I say
to
Pirates
the Caribbean.
Of the Caribbean.
Okay, all right.
Caramel or Carmel, which is the wrong way because you're just leaving out an A out of the word.
I say Carmel.
Like my parents who try to be fake Italian and just shorten words because they have a little bit of Italian in there. Like, manicotti. And they're like, we're having manicot. Like, what? Like mozzarella's mozzadella. Why are you just making up shit? Like, sorry, cursing on the show. Like this. Every time, just say the words. Like, antipasta. Antipasta. What, you had to drop the A? Saves that much time.
I've never heard of anyone do that before.
Oh, it's the whole thing. There's like, you can watch, there's like online video segments about it, like Italian ways to say the foods. Like, they they just drop letters and syllables and change things. It's like Mike Krzyzewski changing his whole last name, although that's not Italian. But anyway, sorry to sidebar. So, Jacobs, where I have him, meaning real quick, and Lauren too, this is what we're talking about, injuries at running back. So, Jacobs is at 16, Zeke is at 17. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is at 18. Pollard is at 19. That's how I would rank those four, assuming Jacobs is back and assuming Pacheco is out.
Yes.
Do you agree or disagree, Christine?
I agree.
Lauren, go ahead.
Oh,
you agree.
I'm just jumping in.
You go first.
I agree.
Go. Your audio works now.
I know. Thank you. I couldn't hear anything. So things were garbled and not going well. So, yeah, had to.
I'm sorry. Say it the Italian way. Things were gobbagood. Just make up a word.
I can't. I don't want to do that. I feel uncomfortable.
Don't make me do it.
Don't make me do it.
Meanie?
Yeah. I think what you said with Jacobs, what you got, Jacobs, Zeke, definitely Pollard is a low end RB2. I don't feel too good about starting him against Detroit. You're just hoping that he can score. Like, how did he not get in against Miami? And that it's like the whole side of the left field was wide open. He decides to cut back, and he's just not big enough, I guess, or strong enough to be a goal line back. We've seen that all year long. They're starting to use fullbacks to get, you know, the extra yard or two. They really miss Zeke inside the red zone. That's why Dak leads the NFL in passing attempts inside the red zone, because they just can't punch it in. So I think at best you're just hoping for a Pollard TD. I may even start like Chuba Hubbard over Tony Pollard. It sounds so gross. The ceiling is
back
definitely
and forth.
There.
That's one of the ones that are going to kind of play out my projections and see if it skews and kind of changes how I feel.
It's one of those situations where you probably would feel super gross, and you'd think about it all winter long, all spring long, that you started Chuba Hubbard over Tony Pollard in your finals and you lost. So I'd probably just take Tony Pollard, but maybe some respect to Chuba Hubbard, because it's definitely his backfield and he's getting 20 plus touches every single week. And I like Breece Hall because he's just catching.
I'll make
so
you feel better. In the column over at The Athletic, Chuba Hubbard has scored double digits in each of his last five games. Minimum of 17 touches. He's 8th in running back touch percentage and 13th in fantasy points per game over those last five games. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad call.
No. And yeah, it's been, 87 plus rushing yards in four of the last five, too, Lauren?
Like, he's been Jaguars. He's not too worried.
He's racking them up. Yeah.
I forgot. I want to go back to the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, because if it is, assuming it's him, I mean, as of right now, it's not just Pacheco only having a concussion. He's had other injuries, which is why I'm really leaning toward and not playing this week. So for the Bengals matchup, three running backs, this entire year have failed to score a dozen points against the Bengals defense. Just three. Strangely enough, Zach Moss in week 14, which we know, he got the touchdown called back. But the other two, Kyren Williams in week 3, and Kyren Williams had the backfield that week. It just went sideways that first week where he really did have control. And then James Cook back in week 9 before Dorsey was fired, and he started getting used by the guy. Those are the only three running backs not to score at least 12 against the Bengals. So go back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Is he possibly too low? I mean, they argue for potential RB1 conversation. Is this just the fear of us getting bit by going to Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Like, we've seen it happen so many times and we're just afraid of it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he hasn't.
Like, who are they going to turn to? LaMichael Pirine?
I did see him on the field. I did see him on the field getting touches on Christmas against the Raiders. And I was actually in another room and I had the audio on. It was like LaMichael Pirine up the middle for 2 yards. And I was like, whoa, what?
He's going to turn out to be the goal line back.
I think that maybe you could play him over Joe Mixon.
Here's one. Would you go, Lauren? Would you go your boy Derrick Henry against the Texans, or would you go Clyde Edwards-Helaire? I love making you guys choose against your favorite players.
I'm going to go Derrick Henry.
I wish you'd talk more about how our favorite players were Rashad White. Look at that guy, RB3. My goodness.
That's because that was all of us.
Winner. I would play Henry. I would play Henry. Touches, you know, just still playing him. Still playing him.
Is Tyshawn Spears a little banged up?
I think he is, but I believe he's fine.
Okay.
I think he came back in that game last week.
So you want to hear a weird stat on Derrick Henry? I just said weird.
Do
so
I? Like, I don't know if I do.
I can't even ask this question now and set it up to potentially trip you guys up, because I just said it was a weird stat. So I'll just throw it out there. So he has 11 rushing touchdowns. We know that. Derrick Henry has 11 rushing touchdowns. I said it's weird, but just answer the question anyway. If I said most of his rushing touchdowns came when they were up by a score or down by the score, which would you assume? I would assume up by the score, right?
But they haven't led very often, so.
Right. So he has 11 rushing touchdowns. 10 of them, 10 have come when they're down by a touchdown or more. He's only got one touchdown when they've been up by a touchdown or more. Like, again, they haven't led that much. But this is a touchdown. Like, this is also within the six. The six is actually the range, so it's actually 7+. So this is just weird. Like, even then, you would expect them to get more work. His actual touch and everything is more with the being down because the season, as you said, they've been down more often. But you would still
expect
touchdowns. That's so
weird because don't his touches go touchdowns down? Don't his touches
when there,
go
there's
down?
More passing, which is exactly that's why he's
so
not
strange.
His touches
that
actually
really
haven't
weird.
Gone too much down on a per snap basis, but he loses snaps to Spears when they're down, which is still why it's a weird stat of the fact that he's got those touchdowns.
That is a very weird stat. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. This will be the second last game, I guess, of him as a Titan. I don't expect him to be on the Titans next year, but I would play him this week. I think that it's a game that they can hang around. There's one guy I would not play, and that's Hopkins. I can't play Hopkins at all. I understand that everyone has him as a wide receiver 20, and last week he was wide receiver 20. Good matchup. I just feel like he's on the sidelines more than he's playing, and Tannehill, I just don't want to risk DeAndre Hopkins at this point of the season. Because
would
just
you feel better if it was Levis?
Healthy. Maybe slightly, but even still, there's just too much inconsistencies in his game this year and of late. So I mean, even play KJ Osborne over him.
Really? I mean, because if you look at it, like, we're talking about the matchups too. You know, Jacksonville, he was wide receiver 15. Carolina, we just talked about a little while ago in the show. Decent pass defense, he was wide receiver 52. Then Indy and Miami, 13-4. Houston was the letdown, as you mentioned, 79, only 3.1. He did have 9 targets, though, and then last week was Tannehill. So I still think he's in play as a wide receiver 3 if Levis is out there. I get your concern if it's Tannehill, but really, you would go KJ Osborne over him?
I would. I think he's going to be the number 2 option in Minnesota.
Oh, of course, but I still don't.
They can't run the
far.
Football. If Mullins throws the ball 40 times, how many
Break
targets
the tie,
is
Lauren.
KJ Osborne going to get?
I'm going to go KJ Osborne. I don't hate that because Hockenson is out. And this is the Justin Jefferson show, and this is the KJ Osborne show. So I am going to go KJ Osborne over DeAndre Hopkins. That sounds so weird to say.
I know it is. Odd. It is weird.
But yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Maybe I just feel burned from Hopkins.
Oh, Jake's just shaking his head at us like, you guys are idiots.
No, just such the hate for basically people who burned you. I'm willing to forgive.
Yeah,
move on.
It's not. I don't even have him anywhere. Thank goodness I don't have this guy anywhere. But I did bet on his prop last week, and I noticed that he was not out there running routes a lot. And I just wonder about these guys that are on teams that are finished. You know, like if you're the Titans, do you see what you have in some other guy that you haven't had a lot of opportunity, or you haven't given a lot of opportunity to this year? And the same side for Hopkins is like. I don't know. Does he care about his future next year? Does he want to suffer an injury week 17 on this Titans team? And then, you know, next year, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I just bad vibes right now for Hopkins.
You're going way down the rabbit hole on that one, man.
Yeah, that's what I do.
All right. So a few more injuries. If Ramondre Stevenson somehow surprises and comes back immediately top 20.
That's another guy I'm not playing.
If Stevenson was back, you wouldn't play him over Zeke. See, I'm
going
to
over
the...
Zeke. Yeah, but.
I still put him inside the top 20 because I'm going on the path of top 20, low end top 20, because of the things I say all the time. If the other person's performing well and they come back, like, what's the point of forcing them back at this point? Like, if Stevenson's back, this is telling me he's ready to roll. Say, Jacobs, Zamir White's been fine, actually really good 2 weeks in a row. Actually, let's go back to that Jacobs thing real quick. If Jacobs was out, is Zamir White almost an RB1 at this point?
Yeah, based on the touches and opportunities, absolutely.
Raiders defense top 10?
Oh, yeah. I picked them up, and I'm going to play them this week. They're playing good. Pierce has these guys playing really good football. Man, they should have fired Josh McDaniels after week 1. Should have let this guy go.
How have they not given a contract to Antonio Pierce is what I want to know. Like, what more do you need to see?
They did
Versace,
this.
They messed up with Versace. When they fired Gruden and they had Versace, like, they should have rolled with him. It was very similar. Everybody was feeling great. Carr in the offense, like, they were actually playing together as a team. They went to McDaniels, and it is just, it obviously everyone knows it's been a disaster. It's very similar vibes. Pierce has some playing. They beat the Chiefs, which is something they haven't done in years. Beating Mahomes, I would be shocked if he's not the head coach now. I don't, he's got to got to be the head coach, man.
I hope they you don't repeat love... their same mistake. That's my biggest fear, because Pierce deserves to be this head coach, 100%.
I don't care if it takes a next year's first, but if you get into this draft, you give give Antonio Pierce the 5-year contract right now, and then when the draft rolls around, pay your 2025 first to move up in the 2024 draft, and what else it takes, like a third rounder, and go draft Daniels, who he recruited back in college and has the familiarity with Daniels at quarterback, and watch them be in the Super Bowl. Not next year, but in short
in
order.
A couple of years. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, anyway, I have the Raiders at 10. I'm surprised nobody's as high as I am.
They're top 10 defense for me, too. Yeah. I really like them.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Hunter Henry, if he returns, since Bailey Zappe only throws to tight ends. Did you know, since Bailey Zappe's taken over, he's thrown 4 touchdowns. All the tight ends, 3 to Hunter Henry, and then last week with no Hunter Henry, 1 to Gesicki. So Hunter Henry, is he a tight end 1 if he plays this week? You didn't want to get in on Stevenson, meaning would you get in on Hunter Henry?
Yeah, the only reason I don't want to get in Stevenson, maybe I'm just in the back of my head thinking that he shouldn't play and there's no point for him to play, but I guess if he does suit up, you know, I certainly like him over Zeke. If you've just been rolling out Zeke, you roll out Stevenson. I think where you have Hunter Henry is fair too. Like Gerald Everett's getting a lot of targets from Easton Stick. That's got a guy I would play over him. Schultz has gotten a lot of targets over the past couple of weeks. I still like him with CJ Stroud coming back. So I don't know. Borderline tight end 1. Yeah. Over Pitts, over Waller, over Kincaid, done with Taysom Hill. Jimmy's getting, you mentioned Carr, Jimmy G's getting touchdowns. Juwan Johnson's getting touchdowns. They're not actually leaning on Taysom Hill in the red zone as much as they were in the past. So,
all right, then
I wouldn't play Taysom either.
Lauren, somebody that we've liked on this show, but it's been a roller coaster because of injuries, other people performing well, and then he gets an opportunity, looks well, and then things get back thrown into a mess, which potentially could happen this week, because if Deonta Foreman plays, would you still trust Khalil Herbert, or would you just no? Stay the hell away from everybody?
Yes.
Or would you play any
yes.
of them?
Yes. Avoid the entire situation and just avoid them. It's so just too spread out. It's too.
There's
no.
probably something you could sing for us, like, which, you know, when it comes.
Don't go chasing Bears running backs.
There you go.
Oh, very well done.
Perfect.
That's nice.
Meanie, since
Herbert,
you don't want to start Hopkins. If yeah. Hollywood Brown is back, would you play Hollywood Brown or DeAndre Hopkins?
I can't be playing these
you
guys.
You have to pick one.
No.
I play Hopkins.
This is a terrible place to put Meanie.
I play Hopkins because at least he's on the field here and there.
I do think Greg Dortch is intriguing this week. I will say whether or not Hollywood Brown plays, I think Dortch is intriguing. Yeah.
As defense in Philadelphia, I thought they actually played okay, but then they give up the big play to Hyatt, to Slayton rather. So yeah, I think Dortch is. I mean McBride. They're gonna have their hands full with McBride.
Let's be honest. They played. They were facing Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor. So it's relative.
Giants were like, you know what, Saquon. Hope you're ready to go, buddy, because you're gonna get 30 plus touches.
8 billion touches.
Run. And that's what I feel like Arizona will do this week too with James.
Thank you. All right, so let's come to that. Like, there's still a few more injuries. I want. Like, I'm looking at my ranks, and I want to put James Conner higher. But I'm just – it's the Cardinals. And it's – I know the Eagles, that you mentioned, like, you just – they can't tackle anymore. You said that a million times last week. Not saying that tongue-in-cheek. I'm saying that legit. Like, kept pointing that out. You've been pointing that out for the last 2 weeks. Kenneth Walker, Saquon Barkley, top 10 running backs 2 weeks in a row facing those Eagles. But James Conner, who I have in front of him, tell me one, Meanie. Aaron Jones, Ty Chandler, Chuba Hubbard, Tony Pollard, Edwards-Helaire, Zeke, Jacobs, Henry, Bijan, Barkley. Like, who can I put behind him? Give me one. I want to put him higher.
Just one spot, maybe leapfrog Aaron Jones.
I have him in front of Breece Hall, and I know people are going to come for me on that. But he's facing the Browns.
Bijan, I would put him ahead of Bijan. I would put him ahead of DeAndre Swift. I will put him ahead of Kenneth Walker.
You just said whoa.
I was just kidding. Whoa. Swift, she's a good spot, too.
Well, I understand. I mean, it's a great
would
matchup.
Would you put him over Derrick Henry?
There's also Kenny Gainwell who's getting involved. We're getting Sirianni here. So I think they're going to be
make the Derrick
touches.
Henry call. Derrick Henry or James Conner?
James Conner.
Oh, wow, we got to turn away from Derrick Henry.
My
boy, I'm sorry, Derrick.
No longer a friend of the show. We hate you, Derrick Henry.
No,
I would play him over Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones got a bulk of the work last week, but if you guys noticed, and I know you did, not trying to be rude here, but when they got the goal near the goal line, who got the touch? AJ Dillon. I think he played 14% of the snaps, but AJ Dillon is the goal line back there. Ty Chandler, I like Ty Chandler, but I feel like
defense
Connor
doesn't exist either.
I know it really doesn't. These guys cannot stop a nosebleed on the ground either. But I would play Connor over him.
Wait, did you say they can't stop a nosebleed on the ground? Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Wait. I've never explained that one to me.
It doesn't. You can't explain it. It's dumb. And I would play him over Pollard.
I'm going to use it. I don't even know what it means.
Is it easier to stop a nosebleed in the sky?
Can't stop a nosebleed. But I wanted to put on the ground because they can't.
Okay. Can't stop a nosebleed. Okay. I got you.
I still don't get it, but I'm going to use it. And then when people ask me what it means, I'll be like, I have no idea.
I mean, you could at least say, like, they can't punch themselves out of a wet paper bag with scissors in their hands. If anybody got that reference.
I like that one, too. But
did nobody get the reference? Nobody likes Wu-Tang on the show?
Yeah, I got it. I said I liked
it.
Okay. Okay.
Love Wu-Tang. At this time of the year, I know you always talk about this, and we've really preferenced it over the past couple weeks, especially on the series show. We've talked a lot about volume and upside, and just for me, I like volume and opportunity. So, like, I really feel like James Conner may be a better play than Tony Pollard this week. Because he's going to get more touches. If they get inside the goal line, he's going to get those. We know that. He's going to catch some passes. I don't know. I would take the 25 opportunities as opposed to the 15 from Tony Pollard. You can count on one hand in his career how many times he's had 20 carries in a game. Is this going to be the game against Detroit, against the Lions run defense? I would just take the opportunity.
Holy crap. Mr. Nice Guy in our chat saw Wu-Tang with Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Wu-Tang? That'd be good. I just need to know one question. If the show was supposed to start at 8, did it start before midnight? That's all I need to know. If anybody comes from that era and understands what I'm talking about, they know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to the time of, like, actually showing up and starting. So, you mentioned the Packers. Let's talk about it. They can't stop getting hurt. This is rough. Christian Watson could play. Jaden Reed could play. Dontayvion Wicks could play. The only healthy one is Romeo Doubs. Luke Musgrave might come back. So, like, I guess meaning, like, just rank them if they're all healthy. Is it Watson number one? Or, like, let's say all of them are out there. How would you rank them?
I would say still Reed. I mean, Doubs scores touchdowns. And then I'll
go. So you're putting Watson third?
Yeah. I may even put him fourth, man. If
Lauren's agreeing with you so far.
Yeah, I really
like. I wouldn't put Wicks over him just because of snap count. I don't think Wicks,
but I'd put him third.
Okay.
Big playability, but boom bust.
And then, do you guys agree with me? I actually said I have Musgrave as a mid low tight end two if he is back. That's where I'm ranking him as of right now because Tucker Kraft's played well enough that I don't think he's going to get a full complement of snaps. This is kind of the Kincaid Knox situation I'm concerned with.
That's
I love Musgrave.
I
would actually have Kraft higher than Musgrave if Musgrave is out than where Musgrave is. Okay, so I agree with that
one. I would put him like right around the Hunter Henry, tight end 13-ish.
If Courtland Sutton is out, is Marvin Mims going to win some championship brackets for everybody that waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and now it's Marvin Mims' side? Or you say no, or is it just going to be Brandon Johnson throwing a wet paper towel on this?
Yeah. It'll be P. Ryan and Williams catching balls out of the backfield and them running the football. That's it.
Little Jordan Humphrey.
Oh, man.
All right.
Beaton's boy. Brought him over. He did have a touchdown the other day.
Quickly before we get out of here, let's do a few can or kiss situations. Reminder for everybody. Oh, by the way, subscribe and like and do all that stuff. We still don't want to die off too much in the offseason. We're going to be here for you on Wednesday, all offseason, talk drafts, look ahead, dynasty, trades to make, all sorts of strategy and stuff. So we still love you. We're still here all the time. I think I love you more than they do because every time I say it, they both make weird faces at me. So whatever. I love you guys. They hate you.
I'm all about the
love.
They
hate you as much as they hate Derrick Henry.
They know the truth, Jake.
Can or kiss, and it's keep it simple, stupid, because Christmas is over, so we're not being nice anymore. Keep it simple, stupid, or can or kiss. Amari Cooper coming after that game. But he is facing the Jets. Is there even a conversation to be had about benching Amari Cooper?
No.
Lauren.
Kiss. Okay, meaning. Smoochie, smoochie. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, I'm playing him. I don't have him as a wide receiver, too. It's like a high-end three. But, yeah, you can't. Based on the volume alone that this guy has had, you got to play him. And you said earlier, Flacco doesn't seem to care. I mean, he's made a lot of bad throws.
Nobody else exists on the team except Amari Cooper and David Njoku.
Exactly. Yeah. Joe Flacco. I see him throw to Elijah Moore a couple times. Elijah Moore just drops an easy pass. It just drops it. It's like, man, don't even.
He's like, oh, what's this? Anymore.
Bro, just go back to Amari Cooper.
It's like, what do I do with this thing?
Like, so I'm pretty sure Joe Flacco's read progression is Cooper and Joker, Cooper and Joku, Cooper and Joku. Yeah. Oh, crap. I got to throw to somebody else.
Yeah. Like, oh, no. Just... I'll toss this. And yeah, I was very, very impressed with Flacco.
Okay. Then on the other side of the ball, Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. Bench or kiss? I think both, or can or kiss, I should say. I think both of them are in the cannibal situation here.
Cannibal situation.
I didn't even think about that cannibal.
I think a Breece, I think, because he'll just continue to eat targets out of the backfield. He'll get
not his own leg, not cannibal.
No, not his own leg. And Garrett Wilson's been pretty decent in terms of volume. He's been like a wide receiver three-ish, but against the Browns, I don't go as far as KJ Osborne keeps coming to my head. I play Garrett Wilson over him, but. It's not great. It's not a great situation against this Browns defense. It's legit.
Okay. Lauren, apparently Joe Gamboa is in our show sheet. He's in there looking because the very next name I was about to go to for can or kiss is what he just brought up and said, can't believe he's about to do it. Are we having a can conversation about Stephon Diggs?
Painful, isn't it? No, I think this is a keep it simple, stupid. I know this is very painful. Actually, Des Bryant had a rant on the X machine about how he is afraid that there's some kind of beef going on between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs that they're not allowing the public to know about. I don't see that. This was a game script for Gabe Davis. I think this is going to go back to Stephon Diggs. However, my caveat on that is that he is going to be a boom or bust play. I'm leaning towards the boom, but he's going to have to get it done on limited receptions. We know what New England is capable of doing, shutting down the best player on the team, but I cannot bench Stephon Diggs. I can't do it. I can't do it. So for me, that's an easy kiss.
You ready for this? I'll go to Meanie. Meanie, how many top 40 performances does he have in his last six games?
Oh my goodness. He may not have any. Top 40, he's probably got one or two.
Against your Eagles. One in his last. Classic. This is the last six. This last six finishes at wide receiver. 57, 57, 13 Eagles. Bye week. Yeah. 56, 46, 66. That's where he's been finishing. To what Lauren just said, is this potentially also one of those, like, it's enough isn't enough? Let's bring Travis Kelce into this conversation. People are just like, it's tight end, so you're not benching Travis Kelce. Let's just be honest. Unless you fell into a Laporta or something like that, which some people did. Like, there's just no world where it's tight end. There's no, you're probably even playing him as your second flex if you fell into that situation. So, but the point being is, like, people have been saying that for the past two or three weeks. They're like, it's time to get Kelce right. It's time to get him getting, and it's not happening. And it's kind of that Stephon, it's time to get Diggs right. It's time to get Diggs right. You brought up the run game for your Eagles for a while. It's time for them to run the ball. But is it time for Diggs to get right, or is this going to continue? And we're having a conversation that you can bench Stephon Diggs for, hell, I'll give you a straight up toss up. Just somebody we talked about. Amari Cooper against the Jets or Stephon Diggs, period, this week.
I would play Stephon Diggs, but I think it's fair that we are having this conversation. And, you know, if you're a Bills fan, you like this. If you're a Diggs owner, you don't. But we've talked about the change at OC and the change in this offense. So I don't think it's going to change. If you've watched the Bills over the last 2 years, it's been Josh Allen playing hero ball, doing what he can, and really just focusing in on Stephon Diggs. I've seen him spread the ball around and then run the ball, which is just much better for this offense. It gives them a better chance to win football games and go deep into a playoff run. But this is as low as I've ranked him as wide receiver 16. There's a lot of guys that would play over him. So I understand, you know, Joe may have a situation where, you know, he drafted well. He got Puka Nacua. He got Rashee Rice. Like, those are two guys that you have ranked ahead of Stephon Diggs that I would play ahead of Stephon Diggs. And then maybe you would just have a stud wide receiver as well on that squad. So he did score a touchdown against New England. He didn't have a great game when they played him. And I think he even took to social media after that was a game that he said he felt bad for fantasy owners that he when he lets them down. But he still found the end zone and finished with 14 fantasy points in a half point setting. So the ceiling is still there.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get 10 to 12 catches in this game. It's not going to be a vintage type Stephon Diggs performance.
And until Josh Allen throws to him 20 times, just because they get right. All right. Two more before we get out of here. Last two. Can or kiss? You could argue that this player has been cannibal. I'm going to keep using that word for the entire year, honestly, with the roller coaster. And here's a stat for you. You ready for this one? Let me see if I can pull it up as fast as I can, which is not going to be very quick. And that's why I'm continuing to talk and waste time. So this wide receiver with his quarterback now has a 7.1 team target percentage. 7.1. As in most worlds, that's irrelevant in fantasy. We don't care about you. The other quarterback that he was playing with targeted him 24.5% of the time. That player is Drake London. Is there even a world where he's startable, honestly?
No.
No?
Not for me.
Meanie?
I agree. I'm not wasting my time with this Falcons offense.
If he does well, finally, it's like, oh, okay.
Speaking of it, like my problem with enunciating sometime, you want to enunciate a little harder on the Falcons offense because it like in my ear, it sounded like you said a little bit something
else. Clip it, Fox.
Effing offense.
Clip it and change it to what I should have said.
Oh, my word.
This effing offense.
Pee and vinegar going on there, buddy.
You can't play them.
So last one,
I'm with
last one. And the stat that I'm about to say might not make sense until we get to something. So let me get through it and I'll explain to it. Last one before we get out of here. Can or kiss Austin Eckler? Now, back to the clear lead last week, 81.8% of the running back touches. What was that game? It was a close game. The Broncos only have three games this season where they've won by 8 or more points, a double-digit score. So, knowing that, and is this going to be a close enough game, can or kiss, meaning because it's really, that's the stat, is why I threw this out, because it all depends. We saw what happens 2 weeks ago. If it gets out of hand, Eckler gone. Like, they're going to be like, why? Why bother? So, do you think this game is close enough that it's kiss for Eckler, or it's scary enough that you could potentially can him?
I would say kiss, but I don't have him as an RB2. Like, I really don't.
So that's honestly cannibal. I know. That's going to be a new cannibal or kiss.
Cannibal or kiss.
I like it.
I do believe this game will be tight. It will be close.
That's the grossest graphic ever.
Eckler over Hall. Like, that's a good question. I would probably play Breece Hall.
Yeah. I would play Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think he's more kissable than cannibal?
I think he's he is Austin Eckler. Definitely think he's more kissable. This one is tough, but I am going to it's not a keep it simple, stupid. There's definitely a conversation that can be had, but I'm going to lean in favor of Austin Eckler.
As we get this video pulled from YouTube because of all the cannibal comments, it's going to run through their algorithm. It'll be like cannibal, and they're going to like under review.
He got a lot of work, and Jake, as you mentioned, this is not going to be a blowout game. The Broncos just lost to the Pats at home, so this isn't a team that can blow anybody out. He's going to get his touches.
Yeah.
You better not. Oh, here we go. As we get out of here, breaking news: Terry McLaurin's in play because Jacoby Brissett. It's starting.
Is that a shot at your boy Howell? I'm not sure there.
Is it a shot at him? I mean, is there a shot at him?
Can't start Terry McLaurin with Howell.
It's because of the kind of aggressiveness downfield. I think Howell got a little bit too much hate this year. I don't get the move because what are you evaluating? Yeah, nothing. You just honestly, I don't know how you go back to Howell now. How?
Like, yeah, you new quarterback next year, is that what you mean, right? Yeah. I mean, new head coach, new quarterback, lot of things.
Trade for Justin Fields. But the point being is, how do you go back to Howell in 2024 when you benched him for no reason? Brissett's done. Brissett already talked about retiring. Like, what are you doing?
Maybe their thinking is, man, Howell's just been sacked so many times this year. Let's give this kid a break. And we'll just we'll throw Jacoby Brissett to the wolves over the
next
couple
of weeks. Not get him murdered before next year. Also, Tyrod Taylor starting for the Giants at Chris Meany, at Stepmom Lauren. all this quarterback nonsense in week 17. Hopefully you need none of them, and it was only the stuff we cover so far. We'll be live on Sirius XM 9 a.m. on Saturday too to make sure you get all the help you need. I love you. These two don't. See you later.
Don't listen to them. We love you.
Falcons, don't fight.
Good luck.